those on the board and visiting with us here. I'm Robert Anderson, chairperson of the Utah Accounts and Licensing Board. I would like to call this meeting to order. It is now 1:34 on January 3rd. This meeting is being held in hybrid format through Google Meet with anchor location in room 474 on the fourth floor of the Heber M. Wells building. Notice of this meeting was provided as required under Utah's open meeting laws. In compliance with Utah's open meeting laws, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. The recording will be posted on the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days following the meeting. In compliance with Utah's open meeting laws, minutes will also be provided of this meeting and will be posted to the Utah Public Notice website. The following board members are present. Robert, Peter is not, Jerry is here, David's not here yet, and Brian is here. Let's see, the following individuals representing Doppel and the Department of Commerce are in attendance. We have Tracy, Katie, and I think was Lisa online. Yep, there's Lisa and Pamela. And is there anybody else from Doppel or the Department of Commerce?
I think that's... We have Matthew Johnson.
Okay, Matthew.
And Robert Steve representing the AG's office.
I'm with the Attorney General's office. I don't work for the department.
Okay.
For the department in a different capacity.
Great. Well, thank you for being here, gentlemen. And David just joined us, so thank you. Probably got caught in the high security getting up the
stairs. I was waiting for an escort. Yes.
We sat there for quite a while, too. So at least we're all safe. That's the important part. We welcome any visitors and interested persons at this time. We ask any visitors, please state your name for the record. Please, and then also we ask visitors, please be sure to identify yourself again before speaking during the meeting. So, Susan.
Susan Spears, UACPA.
And then it looks like online we have Jason.
Yeah, Jason Tomlinson, also with the UACPA.
Welcome. Okay, is there anybody else? We didn't have anybody else online. Okay. As a courtesy to everyone participating in the meeting, at this time we ask you to ask for all cell phones and other electronic devices to be silenced or turned off. Board motions and votes will be recorded in the minutes. As a reminder, all board members must adhere to the Utah Public Officer and Employees Ethics Act, Utah Code 67, Chapter 16, which includes, in part, the disclosure of any actual conflicts of interest that will create a substantial conflict between one's private interests and public duties. Okay, let's proceed with our meeting. We'll kind of take this a little bit out of order. I think we'll do the compliance report at the end of the administration business. So just to give you a heads up, but let's go ahead and is there any discussion or changes to our minutes from our last meeting?
I just had one on that first page, that last paragraph. The second sentence, the board completed the survey and provided feedback to NASPA asking that they think about how maybe to include all stakeholders.
Okay.
Everything else looked fine to me.
Any other items or discussion?
Yeah.
I know, me too. It's back and forth.
You have a two-person meeting.
Well, Peter was here.
Yeah. Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve
the minutes. Jerry, great. Jerry made a motion and Brian seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Minutes have been approved. All right, let's move to our investigations update.
Well, the basic thing that I wanted to say, and I apologize that I can't give you any more details in this because it's ongoing. To other cases that we have, we've discovered that there are quite a few CPA firms that have satellite offices that aren't licensed. I mean, not just one or two. For example, Tracy asked me today, you know, how many cases do we have open, what have we closed? Right now, CPA cases, I have four actually open that I'm working on. Within the last couple of weeks, I closed about three additional ones. But of the four, one of them, for example, has at least 12 other satellite offices, none of which are licensed. Some of them they list as a DBA on an actual licensed company. But the problem with that is, if the licensed company has the license, even though they may have a DBA name, are they in the same building? Are they two separate? Are they two separate things? You know, you can't say, well, I'm Joe Blow CPA, here's my license number, and by the way, my DBA is Happy Accounting. And where is Happy Accounting? Oh, it's on the second floor of our building, or it's in a different place. You can't say, well, no, it's not really the DBA of your firm, because you've got your firm going. You've got to get a separate license number for this. So Tracy said, so how many are there? I said, well, let's see, there's like 12 different satellite offices. And then out of the satellite offices, how many of them are actual CPA firms that are doing something unlawful? So now we're adding in more. So this particular incident, after speaking to Bobby Main and Allison Petley, over some of the bureau managers, it's what we're going to basically classify as a misclassification case, which is supposed to be what I do, and mostly with contractors, where they either hire or people who aren't licensed to work as subs, or they hire people as subcontractors who aren't licensed, and then they call them employees, but they aren't really paying them as employees. And so it's going to be a while, but it looks like it's going to be quite a big case, and there's going to be several CPA firms that are going to be affected by it. So just heads up, because they're going to call her and complain.
But it's clear in the statute how they should be.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, it's very clear.
In fact, what's nice is sometimes they'll call me back and say, hey, I'm sorry I was yelling at you the other day, but I did talk to Susan Spears, and she said you were correct. And I... So that was that. So as we get along with these cases over the next month or two, and there's always attorneys involved who will call me, and they'll come in and we'll try to negotiate fines. Get ready for all the notice of agency action.
Does there seem to be more of an issue now with locations not having licenses than there have in the past?
For me, yes. And I've been doing CPA cases for about 14 years, and I've noticed it has.
And has it been in the statute the same way this whole time?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it changed. So I wonder, is it just an education thing? This is a kind of maybe a new generation, or people are just forgetting, or?
You know, I think that people are just thinking, oh, what the heck, it doesn't matter. We're operating. I don't think they really take it very seriously, because initially some of the fines that we'd give them, I'd write a $1,000 ticket. It's not a big deal. But because of these things, and because they're on top of each other, we look at all the different incidences as multiple first-time offenses. And then depending, sometimes there's one guy who's involved in three or four of the branch offices. So he's going to be written up for each of the four, then for maybe his own personal company that's been involved in the four. And he'll, by the time I'm done with it, he's, what do you mean this is a $25,000 fine or whatever? And that's when they start taking it seriously. Yeah. at least in the construction trades, that's when they really start taking it seriously. The little tickets on, you know, they reach in their back pocket, you want me to give you my credit card number now, but they, you know. So anyway, but I'll make sure that everybody's up on at least numbers of where we're at.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
Just a thought or an idea, and maybe the UACPA, there could be an article in the journal entry. Hey, firms, here's the statute, remember? I don't know, maybe you've already thought of that, you've done that, but.
And I think you're right, there are more. And as we do our trainings, we see a lot non-compliance in the gigging side of things.
Yep, a lot of people thinking that they can.
That they can do away with it. But I also think that in part of the training that we do, we talk about can have two tier, not three tier. So I'm wondering that they're trying to get around that. They're trying to get around that three tier in a very creative way. You know, because we only have a two tier structure.
Right.
So I'm wondering if they're trying, there's a part of me I'm not surprised based on some of the conversations we've had and some of the trainings that we do. It's like, no, it's very clear. You're going to pay your firm registration at every location. It's black and white. There's no gray in that. And it's like, well, this is no, you need to pay your firm registration. And we're pretty blunt.
But then they try to get around it by saying, well, it's a DBA. Okay, well, that's fine. If the sign on the front of your firm that you've bought the site, the license for is the only one,
right,
then that's fine. But you can't use it for the name of the company that you took the license out on and the DBAs that you use. Well, we've got some of them have actually like three different DBAs.
Right. I always will say, what's the federal ID number?
Oh, that's a smart one.
Because because those DBAs are all under the same federal ID number. So that means that then that's a firm registration for each of those DBAs. If it's the same federal ID number. That's kind of how I approached it when they called our office. You know, as I start drilling down.
Right. I guess.
Okay. Anything else? Any other items? Okay. Thank you. Let's look at the CPA exam statistics. Let's see if there's.
And then with that, I added this morning the licensing stats that our chair requested. And it's up to about 10, as of 10:30 this morning, because I added someone in that was just this morning.
Hot off the press, real time.
So your number's a little different than my number?
Yeah, there's by one extra because one got issued this morning.
Nice job. Yeah, I got that report about 4:30 last night, and it was a little bit of like chaotic data that I had to filter through, and I sent it over to Kate. I'm like, I am so sorry how late this is, but when I got it, it was in a mess. I had to kind of filter through.
Any thoughts from the CPA exam statistics? I was a little disappointed for a long time. Utah was always number one or two.
Yeah.
And we seem to be dropping a little bit.
And I wonder how we're going to see everybody that just tried to take the BEC before the end of the year, didn't really study, how those are going to turn out.
I had a question. Do you know, like, in the center here under the demographics, we have male or female, male not reported. And then in the notes down below, it talks about some states don't require some of that demographic information.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not require it? Is that why we have so many not reportings? Or are those literally just people that aren't reporting?
on the, this actually comes up quite a bit in some of the executive meetings where everybody want, especially where the push for diversity and inclusion across the board, trying to get that data to see where you maybe need to capture folks or get the education. Yeah. It comes up quite a bit. Part of the problem is NASBA's website and the law where they're at doesn't allow them, even if the state allows them to collect the data. So because they are the registrant of the exams, it has to be an optional field. And so it's whether or not people fill it in. And then once they get like to this level and they go to the local society and register, we may be able to collect that better. Or maybe at the educational institution, but it's a problem that everyone is facing and no one really knows how to solve it, because then you start getting into different states' laws and requirements and where do you go to push or to force that information.
It was just interesting to me that in Q3 of 2023, the not reported of gender jumped up so much higher. So I was just curious if there was, we've been in the highest in the high 30s and then it jumped to over 100. So just interesting. If there's no other thoughts on that, we can go to the, I guess, the other statistics, and thank you for pulling these. I got curious and was wondering and thought it might be helpful if we kind of saw this on a regular basis just to see how many total firms are out there, how many CPAs there are in the state, number of active licenses, et cetera. And then it'd kind of be fun to see how many are issued each quarter, like, so how many new CPAs. So thank you for putting this together. And it looks like, so since October 4th, so since our last meeting, 94 CPAs, brand new CPAs. So that's, it'll be interesting to see over time. Mm-hmm. Is that a large amount or small amount? That'll be kind of fun. And so it looks like the difference between the 6,200 and the 5,500. 5,500 is all in Utah. And the difference then are those that have CPA licenses from Utah, but are outside, addresses outside. Okay.
And that's as close as we can narrow it down, because they could very well keep a Utah address, but sure, not actually live here. You know, maybe have a second property or something, but we don't actually ask, are you a resident of this state? Okay. So having, using the zip code essentially is the only way we can narrow that down.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you for putting this together. If it's not too much trouble, if you could just include it every meeting, that would be great.
Certainly.
We can start to see over time. Maybe there's some seasonality. Or, I don't know. So, any other thoughts, questions? Okay. Let's move to our compliance update.
So not a lot from me. We still have the two probationers, and I have no changes since my last report, really, to give.
Okay. I think in our last meeting, we wanted to have further conversation about one of them.
Correct.
And I think, I think at this point, last meeting we moved into a closed session to be able to talk, and so if there's a motion to make the same, I'd entertain that motion at this time.
Make a motion to move in.
Motion.
Let's see, did I say my name?
Yes.
Okay, this is Jerry Douglas, as provided under Utah Code Annotated Section 52-4-205-1A. I move to close this portion of the meeting to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
Okay. The motion has been made to close the meeting. Is there a second? Okay. So motion was made by Jerry and seconded by Brian. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We'll move into closed session. Thank you. Well.
Mr. Tomlinson, I'm going to have to ask you to drop off the meeting.
Is there a number or?
Susan can let.
Okay, you could text them. Are you getting, okay.
I'm getting stuck with it.